my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we're responding to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of a Bible prophecy. This is Pastor Gary, and I'm so pleased to once again to be your Drive Time host this really cool Thursday afternoon. Now, of course, normally on Thursday afternoon, we've got Pastor Caden leading and sitting in this chair. But right now, he's planning for a major evangelistic program in just the next week or two. So he's actually taken a week just so he can sit down and get his thoughts together and put together some of the material that he badly needs for that program. And folks, look, you know, the advertising is actually on Faith FM. If you happen to be here in Adelaide, why not plan to attend that? That is going to be one absolutely ripper of a series. Now, of course, this week we've been taking as our theme Christianity in history. How positive was its contribution? You know, so many times I've actually spoken to people, unbelievers, who have said, look, you know, Christianity, it's all right to go on about Christianity, but has it have been any practical use to society since the time Jesus Christ was on earth? That's if, in fact, they believe that Jesus Christ did come to the earth, and the evidence certainly supports that. So this week we've been going through that very issue and digging deep into those matters. Now, of course, on Monday, we looked at, did Christianity change the status of women? Now, that's a really controversial one. I want to assure you that it certainly did, and the evidence was, I believe, overwhelming on that particular matter. Tuesday, did Christianity change the status of slaves? Now, that one is just so important to understand that, particularly when there are many who would suggest that Christianity supports slavery. That, of course, has not been the case. And as you dig into the history, as you dig in to the impact of Christian people on the slave, on the anti-slave movement, you see some wonderful changes did actually take place. So William Wilberforce, of course, in London, was one of the major people working with John Newton, who was a former slave trader himself, in doing away with all that legislation. Then, of course, yesterday we dug into how did Christianity contribute to caring for the sick and the poverty-stricken. And this was, I really appreciated being able to talk to Pastor David on this this issue. Certainly our leader in this part of the world is certainly the full bottle on this particular matter. And today we're asking, did Christianity make a positive contribution to education? How many times have you heard someone say that, if you become a Christian, you've got to close your mind? Well, actually, exactly the opposite is true, because that is certainly what Christ taught, and that's certainly what the evidence shows from history as well. So many people have not realized the positive historical impact of Christianity on contemporary living, and it is wonderful to have you with us again this afternoon. Now, of course, my co-host this afternoon is our regular Thursday co-host, and that's Lindy Sperring. And it is fantastic to welcome Lindy. She is passionate about prayer, about the work of the Holy Spirit. She is a lady who is constantly out preaching, teaching. In fact, I think we could elevate her to the status of Superwoman. You know, that show on television. Welcome to you, Lindy.
Pastor Gary, that's a wonderful lead up, and I thank you very much, but I don't really want the Superwoman role. I just love working for the Lord. In fact, you know, when you take that step of faith and you surrender your life to Him and He wants to work through you, look what opens up. It's just incredible. And I love working here in South Australia. I'm a Victorian, as you know, and I just loved being on Faith FM. Yes,
but you did successfully escape from Victoria. No, we do love you people in Victoria. My brother actually lives over in Victoria.
He does,
and
yes.
We've got some wonderful listeners in Victoria. And if you're from Victoria, we do love you a great deal, except when the wrong football team does win. Then we change
that. Or you have big lockdowns.
Indeed, indeed. But no, look, folks, wonderful to be able to have you on board with us once again this afternoon, and lovely to have Lindy with us as well in the studio. Now, look, let's come to our World Watch, and of course, this is just a regular segment. We have it at the start of every single program, and this today's World Watch comes from the Premier Christian News. Once again, this is a one of the major websites in the United Kingdom, and today I was just reading. In fact, it was only today that I did actually notice it. It's a couple of days old, but it was entitled "An Influencer Pretends God Is Real for 30 Days in a Viral Faith Experiment." Now, when I read that, I thought, wow, I mean, going to pretend that God is real. So I wonder what the result will be. Well, this is what Premier Christian News did actually say. A New York-based influencer has set himself the challenge of pretending God is real for a month in a bid to see how his outlook on life changes. Brian Gorn, a former crypto founder, has been practicing what he calls faithless Christianity. He describes it as a commitment to going through the motions before one fully believes, watching and seeing if it changes your life, and seeing if the belief comes after. Practice first, then let faith catch up, Gurn posted on his Instagram, adding that although he wrestles with faith, he doesn't wrestle with the knowledge that God can ultimately be good. Gurn, who has been attending church, reading the Bible daily, engaging in theological debate, and trying to mirror Jesus' way, all documented this part of the online challenge. The influencer told Premier Christian News that he was raised with the Christian faith, but walked away from it during college days. However, he left his crypto career feeling very jaded. Lots of issues with political identity and nationalism turned me away when I was younger, he added. I'm searching for deeper meaning. 5 days in, Gruen said with shared with Premier Christian News that he is feeling lifted, but isn't quite sure at the moment if the boost is from all the love of going viral or from God himself. I'm a guy wrestling with his faith in public and on camera, Gruen told his followers. You're welcome to wrestle with me. His daily routine now includes morning prayer, where he starts by confessing, God, I don't know if you're real, but ... So far, he has filmed himself reflecting on topics including addiction, dating, and forgiveness. When asked what he would like Christians to understand about non-believers, Gurn told Premier that it can be hard to relate to faithful people. The best way to convert people, in my opinion, is just being really kind and happy and at peace, he said. That's the best achievement. Gurn is determined to keep going. Then came this last little paragraph. We all believe in something, he said. Believing in something beats believing in nothing. I've believed in both, but believing in nothing didn't serve me. Now, when I read this particular article, Lindy, I sort of thought, goodness me, I mean, what have we actually got here? Look, I'm just wondering, I mean, you've got, you know, your passions are certainly in the whole area of prayer, certainly the work of the Holy Spirit. How would you respond to this article? You know, is this guy sort of, I suppose, playing with God?
When I first heard you reading it, I feel there's a certain amount of maybe disrespect towards God? Like he said, he's been a Christian and then he's gone away from it. Is he being a little bit disrespectful here? Is he playing the devil's advocate here? Is he trying to engage with non-believers in a different way, perhaps? You know, I've asked myself a number of questions about what his game is or what he's really trying to achieve. Because he said back here, you know, I started to feel a bit lifted, but is it from all the love of going viral? Or, you know, obviously he's excited because when something goes viral, that means a lot of people are engaging with it. Or is it from God? Well, I certainly believe that spending that time with the Lord is beneficial. He's plugging into the source of power. He's engaging with this God. You know, the Bible says, doesn't it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And also,
that's almost a challenge, isn't it, Lindy? Because
it is a challenge. You
know, I mean, that's of course, King David actually says that, and I think it's in the book of Psalms. But you know, taste. You know, it's almost as though he's inviting people to experiment. You know, when someone that I know creates a brand new dish, something that I've never actually tasted before, and they say, you know, do you want to give this a taste? You know, I go up to it and I smell it. is this a nice looking smell? That hardly goes on very well, does it? To me, as I look at this, I turn around and say, hey, do we have somebody here who is honestly seeking for something better? You know, those last couple of lines that he certainly wrote, he's actually seen both sides of the equation. We all believe in something, he said. Believing in something is better than believing in nothing, but believing in nothing hasn't served me. It's almost as though this gentleman's actually on a search. He's seeking.
Look, he is, and I like the contrast there between nothing and something, but at the end of the day, we're always believing in something, whether it's ourselves, whether it's when we hop into the car, we're going to turn the key, it's going to start. So we're always believing in something. You know, I can reflect on what it says in James 1:6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know, God invites us to trust him with everything, even though our senses might give us and reveal to us something different. And the Bible is full of promises. And so, you know, this young man, Guan, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but he is doing a test here for sure. You remember Gideon put out the fleece to try to make sure that what he felt God was saying to him was what God was saying to him. And he put out the fleece to be wet and to be dry. So he was testing the Lord in that.
And yet, Lindy, the thing that I love myself is a story certainly that what we find in Mark chapter 9. And, of course, here we've actually got a Gentile man comes to request the healing for his child.
Yes.
And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. But then verse 24, this is Mark chapter 9, says this, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.
Absolutely.
What do you think he's actually saying there? What does that statement actually mean?
I think sometimes we're scared to believe. I think we're sometimes thinking, can this impossible thing really happen? And so we have some doubts. And I think it's all right to express that to God and say, look, I do have a bit of a belief here. There's a tiny bit here, like the Bible says, faith of a mustard seed.
Yeah.
But I need you, Lord, to give me more faith and more hope. Like this young man could be on the right path here, even though he's doing it as a test and it's going viral and the people are interacting with him. He could be on the right path because he said he's spending time reading his Bible and he's praying, look, God, I don't know if you're real, but you know, God can sometimes step into a situation like that and reveal himself in a powerful way so that there are no doubts.
I love the way that the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's almost as though faith is a thing that grows. It's something that develops. As I hear, as I see, as I touch, as I experience, it's something that grows within me. It's almost as though it's a seed planted deep within the heart by the Holy Spirit that when it is nourished, it actually starts to grow and take fruit.
So it needs to be nourished, doesn't it? We can't just let it go. We have to nourish it.
But this young man, to me, he's doing certainly those things. He's expressing his doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, do you know, I think it's okay for a person to express their
Absolutely.
Doubt.
Absolutely.
I think that's perfectly acceptable for a person to express their doubt. But I think here, okay, he's doing it online. It's a little bit of an unusual thing. But the thing that I appreciate is that he's prepared to say, hey, look, I'm going to pray daily for certainly the month. I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to attend worship for a month. I'm going to see if it makes any difference. And, you know, to me, I believe it's a challenge that I would certainly put out to many people. Why not give it a go for a month and just test it and see if it does impact your life.
And make a difference. I'd love to hear what happens in 30 days, Pastor Gary.
Oh, look, I'll be watching the Premier Christian News because I really want to find out what does actually occur in this particular space. Look, let's come to some music. This is the Norton Hall Band, and this is a really beautiful, it's a contemporary version of Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. This is a wonderful traditional hymn of faith.
Keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. rest beyond the river.
And that, of course, was the Norton Hill Band, and they were singing "Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross." And of course, that's a real traditional hymn of faith. To me, it's one that so many have leaned on in times of trouble, and I love that particular version. Now, guys, look, we do have a really beaut giveaway for you today. Now, the giveaway today is actually a magazine. And it's entitled "Reading the Bible Can Change Your Life," and of course, that's exactly what we've been talking about all this week. Because we've been suggesting that reading the Bible and the Bible and the principles that are found in the Word of God have, in fact, impacted society and have changed society. But the reason it's changed society is because it's changed people's hearts, and we want the Bible to also be able to impact your heart. Now, look. Folks, this is a magazine that certainly talks about the Bible. It'll tell you how to read the Bible. It tells you how you can relate to the Bible. It'll tell you how you can share the Bible simply with your friends. Reading the Bible can change your life. If you want your life changed, if you want to know how the Bible fits in to that entire process, because it is a process, my friends, it is a process, then this is the magazine that I'd recommend for you. Now, our number, our contact number for Drive Time is 0488 808 11, and all you need to do is to put into that text the code SA428. SA428. Now, that'll come straight through to us. It'll come through to our robot, actually. Our robot will come back to you. He'll ask you just a few questions so that we can get this magazine to you in the fastest way possible. The robot will ask you just a couple of questions so that we can get it to you. SA428, and that number again is 0488. 808 11. We'd love to be able to share this little magazine with you. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary and also with Lindy Sperring. And this week, we've actually taken as our theme Christianity in history. How positive was its contribution? And today, we're asking, did Christianity positively contribute to education? You know, there are so many people that I've certainly spoken to and said, and they've said, look, you know, if you have faith, well, you have to have your mind closed, not opened. And yet, you know, as I look at history, as I look at the commands of Jesus Christ, what I find is that exactly the opposite. Jesus expects people to become educated. And certainly the Christian church, right from the days of Jesus Christ, certainly did involve itself in the whole educational process. Lindy, look, we live in a country where the world has changed a lot since the days of the New Testament church. Education, it's free to all. But of course, well, it's almost free to all, should I actually say that?
Private school.
It's generally free. It's made available to everyone. But, you know, in the ancient Roman world, it certainly wasn't like that. You know, certainly if you were rich, you could hire a tutor and you could certainly become educated. But if you happened to be a slave or if you happened to be female in particular, the chances of you getting an education were not that high. Look, can I just ask you, Lindy, how much was Christianity a driver in encouraging people and society to move into becoming more educated? Was this something that the church encouraged?
Well, it certainly was, because we know that Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And here it is, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so early Christian education, if focused on moral and spiritual development, preparing individuals for life beyond the material world. So yes, when people started to understand the teachings of Jesus and they wanted to publish those teachings and they wanted to teach those teachings, that's when education started. And that's when people of all different backgrounds, not just the rich, were able to learn and to grow.
I like what you've actually said there, Melinda, because what you've really done is honed in on what is the mission statement for the church. As in, I'm talking the Christian church here.
Yes,
now, you know, we're big these days. Certainly most businesses have to have some sort of a mission statement. Why do they exist? You know, what is the purpose behind their existence? But that text that you quoted there, go into all the world, preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. This is a command. Christ expected his disciples to be involved with a ministry of teaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He wanted them to go out into the streets and the byways to share what he had been teaching them, because it wasn't coming from the Pharisees. It wasn't coming from the Sadducees, the type of teachings that he was imparting to the disciples. And we know that the disciples, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, were able to go out and to teach and to share everything that Jesus had shown them.
Mm.
And so education was really ramped up after Jesus left, ascended to heaven, and the disciples started going out and teaching in the villages and in the towns and, you know, even to the ends of the earth, this message of salvation, this gospel message. But you couldn't understand the gospel message or read about it unless you learned how to read. And then you had to know other things as well. We can reason.
It's interesting that you actually say that, Lindy, because it would have been so easy for Christ to have simply said to his disciples, look, you know, I want you to go out there and I want you to teach people to have faith in me. You know, and sort of left it at that particular point and not gone beyond it. And to me, the really unfortunate thing, even today, is that so often, you know, I sort of hear people say, look, you know, all we need to do is to have faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, you know, one of the most beautiful passages of scripture that I know of, Lindy, and, you know, to me, let me just share this with you, because I do actually preach on it from time to time. And this is 2 Peter, and this is, you know, Peter's short book right towards the end of the New Testament. He says something quite incredible, actually. For this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what he says, add to your faith. And the first thing he says is virtue. To virtue, add knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
To knowledge, add self-control. And he goes through a full list of things here that he encourages believers to add to their faith. Apparently, faith is that germinating seed that blows up. And the more knowledge and understanding and teaching you do actually get, the better life becomes.
Absolutely, because Jesus didn't want them just to know about salvation. He wanted them to know about being able to observe creation, to experiment, to deduce, to speak, to argue, to communicate, to love and relate, because all of these things were part of learning and growing. You know, you pointed out that scripture in 2 Peter. I've got one in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So this Bible is a powerhouse of information and education. But there's even broader than that, because if you extrapolate and you understand about creation and how things were created, how the body works, you understand about adding up things. You know, you want to run a business. You understand about science, what's happening in the heavens.
And to me, the beautiful thing, you know, one of the lovely statements of Jesus was, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
There's nothing more abundant than when you've actually got life that is growing and expanding. But so often to have an abundant life, to have a life that's growing and expanding, I actually require a little bit of knowledge. I need to know, for example, how to care for my body. I need to be able to know how it is that I can come into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to understand the importance of rest. I need to be, there's so much.
So much learning. We're always learning. And if you want to run a business, you want to have money so you can buy food, you want to perhaps learn how to make clothes. There's just so much that education. I don't know about you, Pastor Gary, but when I went to high school, I went to a Christian high school. I learned about cooking, learned a bit about woodwork, learned about economics and maths and Bible and biology, all of those subjects. You know, it's just Christianity has really added to education. If you think about the Reformation by Martin Luther and John Calvin, they promoted much broader access to education because it was often, as you said, those who were rich or those who were privileged perhaps in a church environment, and then all those people outside, they weren't learning to read and write. They weren't learning things. They weren't able to have access to the Bible. And so
This is actually part of what I would call the mystery of the ancient Jewish economy, because, you know, the Jewish economy was actually so different to that which was in the rest of the world. One of the things that certainly the ancient Jewish nation set up was a thing called the School of the Prophets, and the prophets themselves would actually become teachers. There were actually a portion of the Levites who were actually set aside to becoming teachers of the law. That was the duty. Now, the primary teacher, significantly, was actually mum and dad in the home.
That's right.
That's where it started off, and that's where mum and dad were expected to be able to teach. But, you know, what we find is that you also find connected to the synagogue, you had teaching environments.
That's right.
And so once we move into the New Testament, we find this command of Jesus Christ, and it's so different. And, you know, that command encapsulated, go into all the world, was what the command said. It didn't just say, go to the, you know, to the wealthy men and train them. No.
But to everybody.
But to everyone. The command of Christ encapsulates the entire world. And what we find is that within the Christian worldview, there has always been an expectation that education would be heart and core of everything that was done.
Well, absolutely, because God created everything and he wants to provide for us, as you said, an abundant life. Mm. And there's been so many people throughout history. There was an Indian scholar, Vishal Mangdawadi, I think I've pronounced it right. He converted to Christianity and he said there's just this thread running through the Bible that God's desire to bless all nations. And he realized that the Bible created the modern world of science and learning, and it gives us a bit of an insight into Creator's vision of what reality is all about. And so there've been, you know, John Calvin, he says not only the natural, but also the human social world is a dazzling theater of God's glory. Mm. As we come to understand about a family and how families operate, as we come to understand about how our bodies operate, how we interact with each other. And so really, God has provided a huge array of natural resources to be developed. And so how are we going to do that unless we're educated, unless we learn about it?
Yeah. In other words, education should not be divorced from faith. This is one of the major issues. I would suggest that one of the biggest misunderstandings within the entire Christian world is that faith is something that stands alone. A faith is in no way related to education, where in actual fact, the two are very closely linked.
Absolutely.
I came across one time a statement from, this is from Augustine. Augustine believed, and I'm quoting from a social researcher here, Augustine believed that Christians Christians can and should benefit from all the learning known even to the from the pagan philosophers. So they should be taught languages, history, grammar, logic, and sciences. They wrote a comprehensive textbook of all the various branches of learning to date, which became the standard text for European universities through the Middle Ages. Augustine used his mighty influence to formulate theology and philosophy, the impact of which has echoed down through the centuries.
That is so true, and I really love, too, what Augustine of Hippo said in 354-430. He said that Christian women were better informed in divine matters than pagan male philosophers. And so I really like that one. I'm sorry, Pastor Gary.
Yeah, no, that's a great one.
But, you know, here these schools were set up. They didn't just teach Christian doctrine, but increasingly they did mathematics and medicine and other subjects as well. And I just like to tell just a quick little story about children in WA. And I think Naomi shared this story about these children who are reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. And we know there's a lot of children in our schools that have put their hand up to study the Bible.
Yeah.
What they found amazing is they sit down on the mat and they read the Bible every day and they start memorizing some scripture, and all their other subjects, they increase.
Yeah.
They're doing much better. Their grades go up.
Yeah.
And so it's all linked, really, because the Bible is supernatural. It's a divine word of God. And when we take that in and we start to understand other things more clearly.
Yeah. I find myself, Lindy, even the peace that does come, you know, the Holy Spirit is, when he comes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's when that Holy Spirit comes in and fills a person, and particularly when they are able to function at peace with their world, when they know where they are going, when they know they have a purpose, when they know they have a direction. This is not a purposeless education.
No.
This is an education that has a purpose, that is moving towards a particular direction. And, you know, to me, I believe that so much of Christian education paints the big picture that it's very easy to overlook if you are only dealing with a very limited worldview.
Yes, so we need to broaden our worldview. Now, Martin Luther was quite outspoken, as you know,
and he
said it was a crime for parents not to ensure that their children had education. So during the Reformation in Europe, there was a surge in the building of girls' school in Protestant areas. So we know that throughout history, Christian education and the work of Christians helping for people to have more education has been had a huge impact on our world.
Well, it's interesting, you know, Lindy, even if you look at the number of universities that have been established, certainly by Christian, I would call it the Christian fathers and mothers.
Yes.
You know, they
Oxford, Cambridge,
all these universities of note originally were set up with a religious purpose, and often by religious people. Why? Well, okay, for the training of the clergy, because certainly the clergy, certainly during the Middle Ages, there was a real dearth in this. But, you know, what we find is that with the coming particularly of the printing press, as we find the Bible is being translated into various languages, what happens is there is suddenly a revival of learning. The Bible is no longer chained to the wall of the monastery. It now becomes open to the general person,
yes,
and learning just starts to explode.
Increase in knowledge, the Bible says.
Exactly.
Towards the end of the days, there'll be a big increase.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, to me, as I look at this, I just simply say, Lindy, look, this, the impact certainly of Christianity, of religion, certainly on the whole educational structure has been incredibly, incredibly significant. But look, let's come to some music, and then we'll come back. Let's sing Come to Sarah Draggett, and she's singing a tribute to godly teachers. Please enjoy.
Teaching me patiently, lay
And that was Sarah Draggett, and she was singing a tribute to godly teachers. Now, folks, we've got to you a really beaut little magazine this afternoon that we'd like to give to you. We'd love to be able to just share this with you. It's actually entitled Reading the Bible Can Change Your Life. And indeed, that's what we're suggesting to you, that reading the Bible can indeed do exactly that. It can change your life. Now, this is a magazine. This is not a book, but because it's a magazine, it's brief, it's to the point. It's written by people who are really great authors. I really appreciate, I think George Knight's in part of that group. Love reading George Knight. He's got a real wit about him. He really is able to share in a deep manner, but in a very simple way in which to teach us how to dig into the Word of God. Now, folks, this magazine, Reading the Bible Can Change Your Life, if you'd like your own copy, all you need to do is to request that. Now, you can request that by texting us. Now, you need to just text us at 0488 808 11, and put the code in SA 428, just five digits in a row, SA 428, and send that to 0488 808 11, and our robot will come back to you, ask you just a few questions so that we can get this magazine to you in the fastest way possible. You will really enjoy this little magazine. If you want to grab one in order to be able to share it with someone, please feel free to do that. We are more than happy to share with you this magazine. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary and also with Lindy Sperring. And this week, we've taken as our theme, Christianity in History, how positive was its contribution. And today we're asking, how did Christianity positively contribute to education? And Lindy, really appreciate what it is that you've actually been sharing with us so far. Now, we've got about 10 minutes until the top of the hour. Do you just want to bring it together for us? I mean, you know, are there any stories of where, I suppose, you know, education has really changed the lives of individuals?
Well, as you look back after the time of Christ, there's been so many people who have been raised up by God, I believe, with a burden on their hearts to educate others. For example, there was a woman in England, and she decided that she wanted to start teaching children on a Sunday morning, some of the poor children. She brought them into her home, and she probably started the first Sunday school that ever was.
Okay.
Teaching them about the Bible, teaching them other things. And the idea took off, and about 25% of England's 1.25 million children were going to Sunday schools. So you can see how that sort of, you know, expanded, and then schools were started.
It's interesting, actually, Lindy, that you bring up the Sunday school movement, because that is one that many, particularly older Christians today, would be familiar with. You know, people have been brought up within the church, and on Sunday morning they'd go along to Sunday school. But, of course, that actually has got linkages directly to every single church. Churches believed it was important to teach their children not just mathematics, not just English, not just, you know, logic, but rather they also had to teach them morality. And what was the best way of actually doing that? Well, the best way of teaching morality is actually through a lot of the stories that are actually in the Word of God.
That's
Hence you get people, even today, they're very familiar with stories like the Good Samaritan. You know, you share the story of the Good Samaritan. There are certainly a number of moral and ethical dilemmas that are posed within that particular story. The best way to teach morality is actually through stories.
I think so, and that's why Jesus told so many parables and to illustrate what he was teaching.
To And what we actually find is that this is where education certainly came in. And, you know, Lindy, I'd actually be so bold as to suggest, you know, one of the biggest challenges we've got in our society today is the fact that a lot of the teaching of morality, and that often comes through stories, is actually not occurring.
I think you're right. I think you're right. All the stories that we're hearing aren't teaching any morality. So
indeed,
there's that other opposite side. I've got to reflect on a few women. Yep. Sorry, Pastor Gary.
Please do that.
But
please
bring
that
up a few women here. There was some pioneers in England and other countries who were not sometimes allowed to be educated. Like, they weren't meant to go and learn to be doctors. It was all male dominated.
Yes.
And there were quite a few pioneer women who stood up, like Hannah Moore, Mary Wollstonecraft, and others, Anne Judson, who she did some of her education in Asia. These people have been pioneers and stepped out in with courage and faith as well to ensure that those who perhaps couldn't afford an education or for some reason weren't overlooked, they would reach out to them. And I think that is really admirable to see what these women have done. So I can switch to a man's story now, Pastor Gary.
Well, let me share one, because, one of the, I just mentioned this briefly just yesterday, but, David Livingstone. Now, of course, David Livingstone is regarded as the person who explored Africa, opened up Africa. Right now, if you go into Westminster Abbey, you find that he's actually been buried in Westminster Abbey. But he actually died in Africa, and he's brought back from Africa to Westminster Abbey to be buried there. But the significant thing that a lot of people don't actually realise is that there's one part of his body that isn't actually buried in Westminster Abbey. What part do you think that is?
His heart?
His heart. His heart is not there.
That was a guess.
That was a guess. His heart was actually taken out of him and buried in Africa.
Because that's where it was.
Because his heart was there. That's where it was. But significantly, why did Livingstone go from England all the way across to Africa? These days, he's regarded by many people as an explorer. But the reason he actually went was because he wanted to be a Christian doctor and teacher.
That's right.
And he went exploring the entire land, teaching them about Jesus Christ and opening up the land of Africa to the Christian gospel.
Fantastic,
that was
really
the purpose. That was the reason that he did it. So many countries have been, dare I say it, evangelized.
And blessed.
And blessed, because what we find is that the explorers were going there with a purpose. But what was the purpose? The purpose was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right. And those who went respectfully and allowed the people to have some of their own customs, they've done beautiful work. I think of Anne Judson as well. She went to Burma and started a school for girls. And one of my teachers, Helen Hall, has been in Burma and on the Burmese border for many, many years. She's got to be in her mid to late 80s, and she's still over there teaching in these schools that she started. Just incredible.
It's interesting that you actually talk about Burma there, because, one of the things I'm really conscious of, Lindy, is that even to this day, if you go into particularly a third world countries where there isn't a lot of the government-based education, certainly here in Australia, we're incredibly blessed because we certainly have high-quality education available to everyone. But certainly, if you go into countries, I certainly went and was able to spend a little bit of time just very recently up in Papua New Guinea. But so many of the educational facilities up in a country like Papua New Guinea are actually based around churches and the ministry of churches. That's how education is actually been has moved ahead.
Like the vehicle.
It's been the vehicle, that has actually moved education into these countries.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Look, it's fantastic. I just can't believe the amount of information of different people like Thomas Aquinas and others.
What does
Martin
he say?
Luther. Well, he lived in the 13th century, and he was also confident that Christians can learn from unbelievers, Pastor Gary, which I thought was interesting, because we're talking about Christian education, but there are many unbelievers, if you like, who've learned many things about science or medicine or the stars, the moon, There's just so
and
many.
And even from other cultures.
Other cultures, you know, as
I just sort of think of, but being able to bring all of this together is certainly something that did revolve around the command and the commission of the early church.
That's right. That's right. And I think that we as Christians have a responsibility, and, you know, we want everyone on the earth to know the Creator God. Mm. We really want in our hearts for them to love Him and want to worship Him, because we want to see them for eternity as well. And God created us in His image to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And I suppose if we're going to fulfill that wonderful end and join Him in the kingdom, we need to learn about Him. We need to learn about His works and the way He functions. And we need to pass on those truths through education in our families, to our children, to our grandchildren, to even children who come and visit in our home. There is so much that through Christian education, lives can be changed.
Yeah, I think just Deuteronomy chapter 6, I find is a beautiful command by certainly the God of heaven speaking to the ancient Israelites. And it's interesting that this command is actually tied up with the whole purpose of education. It actually provides to parents, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord He is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Mm. You ever wondered where Jesus got that, quoted that passage from? It's from here, from the book of Deuteronomy.
Yes.
"And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You will teach them diligently to your children. You will talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." I love this particular command, you know, Lindy, because education is actually being pushed back, not to the university, not actually to the schools of the rabbis, but initially it's actually the responsibility of the parents. And this is the command that's being given by God to the ancient Israelite families. And of course, after that, you certainly had the schools of the prophets. You certainly had schools in the synagogues. You certainly had that at the time of Christ. But it's the Christian church that continued in that command of Christ. Christ saying, "Go teach, preach, baptize. I want you to share with all nations." When He said that, it gave a purpose to the work of the church.
Look, absolutely. And I think we have to remember too that after the collapse of the Roman Empire, that the church provided rigorous schooling for many Christians, and they helped to preserve a lot of the writings and information so it could be carried down. And the earliest universities, as you said, were all built on Christian foundations. And so education is how you and I can learn about God and His world. It's a way to glorify Him. It brings glory to Him. We are encouraged to serve others. And through the last 2,000 years, Christians have been at the forefront of promoting education. And so we have this clear vision of our purpose as human beings. And so I think we're quite capable, Christians are quite capable of underpinning everything to do with education.
In other words, faith is not something that actually stands alone. Faith is something that is actually molded and developed and grows as it is taught.
That's right.
And as it is educated. Look, let's just pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you right now. I want to say thank you, for the privilege of learning. Mm. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the stories that are in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the morality that is able to impart to humanity. Lord, I just pray. I pray for any person who might be listening to us right now who might be struggling in some way. Lord, if there's somebody struggling maybe financially, if there's somebody struggling with a health issue, if there's some person struggling with some relationship matter, Lord, I just want to pray right now that you might be with them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you might give healing where healing is able to occur. I pray, Lord, that you might restore relationships. Lord, I pray that you might give wisdom. Lord, I pray that you might fulfill the needs that people are recognizing right now. Lord, we just give our needs into your care at this time, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive Time Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when Emerson and Shana will be looking at the secret behind the transforming nature of Christianity. Really look forward to you joining us again. But until then, please remember Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.